This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Scott Merson, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bibles to the great book of 1 Samuel, chapter 15, verse 24, where we left off last time. 1 Samuel, chapter 15, verse 24. Everybody in the world is invited to come here every Wednesday at 6 p.m. We're live on the air with SoundCloud, Facebook, and through social taping. When we go off the air, we pray fervently for America, and then I pray fervently for everyone who comes. And on the first Wednesday of every month at 6 p.m., do come, but something different. I offer LOL, lots of love for you. On that first Wednesday, I'm not on the air and I do not teach. I spend that whole time praying for everybody who comes in a very personal way, one by one, the laying on of hands. We pray for the sick. God still heals. Bring your sick loved ones. Bring them in wheelchairs. I've been through all of that. God's always healed me or healed you.
Amen.
And then with the second segment, we pray for those who are addicted to drugs, alcohol, and pornography. Don't be ashamed. God loves you, and he wants to help you. And therefore, for the grace of God, go I.
Amen.
And then thirdly, the Holy Spirit often moves in his wonderful gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, prophecy, etc., healing. And then everybody gets to come up to the holy bench one by one and let the Holy Spirit pray through me as he will. Scott Merson stands on one side and I on the other. So don't miss that. Also, everybody in the world is invited to come here every Sunday at 5 p.m. We're live on the air with radio, internet, SoundCloud, Facebook, and through social taping. I'm in Suntree, Florida. I'm right beside Scott Merson, the produce place. Their produce place is at the corner of Wickham Road and Bonita Causeway. I'm right there. You'll see a sign, Sherry Medlock, Trumpet of Truth, 2565 Sellers Lane, Melbourne, Florida. As the curtain comes up on 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 24, the prophet Samuel, obeying God, tells the first man king of Israel, King Saul, that God has rejected him from being king. He has shut that door. Saul had disobeyed the word of God. Instead of doing God's will, he did self-will. Therefore, from God's heart to my heart, to your heart, shut that door, open that door. Shut that door, open that door. In Revelation chapter 3, Jesus is the key, and he says, I open doors and no man can shut them. I shut doors and no man can open them.
Verse 24, Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words.
Now that sounds holy, doesn't it? It sounds like he's repenting, but is it real?
Because I feared the people and obeyed their voice.
Nope. He's still doing the blame game. I didn't do anything wrong. It's those people there. They made me disobey God's word. No, this is not real. He wants to remain king so he can be somebody important. Self-will.
25. Now therefore, I pray thee, pardon my sin and turn again with me that I may worship the Lord. Verse 26.
And of course, he just wants the people to think he's still king.
As Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord.
People of God who have the Holy Spirit cannot be fooled. You have discernment of spirits. You don't see the outer, you see the heart.
And the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel.
He said, no. Edgar Allan Poe wrote a beautiful classical poem, and a verse in there says, said the raven, nevermore. That door shut.
Verse 27. And as Samuel turned about to go away, he laid hold upon the skirt of his mantle and rent it.
Saul ripped the mantle of a man of God. The book of Psalms says, touch not mine anointed, do my prophets no harm. Why? They're the apple of God's eye, the pupil, the only ones God can trust them. And Jesus said in Matthew, if you touch them, it were better for you that you had a millstone hung about your neck and drowned the depths of the sea. Amen. Don't mess with God's prophets. Amen. They're the only ones you can trust.
Amen.
Verse 28, and Samuel said unto him, the Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day.
You just did a visual aid, Saul.
And hast given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou.
Early in Samuel, remember that God told Samuel, he says, I have found someone who is a man after my own heart. He's not after himself, he's after God.
Verse 29, and also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent.
Strength is capitalized, that is God. God is our strength, he doesn't lie.
For he is not a man that he should repent.
He's not a man that he shall lie or repent. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He says, I change not. In other words, he made up his mind, and that's it.
Verse 30, then he said, I have sinned, yet honor me now. I pray thee before the elders of my people and before Israel, and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord thy God.
He doesn't want to worship God. He wants the people to think he's king. Notice he said, thy God. He can no longer say, my God. There is a point that you can keep saying no, even though you're saved. The Holy Spirit said, do this, do this, do this, do this, do this, don't do this, don't do this. You can go so far that not only have you rejected God, he's rejected you. Because see, when you forsake him, you have moved away from him. And then he forsakes you. Quoth the raven, nevermore.
Verse 31. So Samuel turned again after Saul.
Now he's not going back to change his mind. Samuel has a purpose. He's going to finish some unfinished business that God told Saul to do.
And Saul worshiped the Lord. Verse 30.
It wasn't real.
True. Then said Samuel, bring hither to me Agag, the king of the Amalekites.
Now you might remember that God told King Saul, I want you to destroy everybody in the Amalekite nation, including the king. They had gone too far and they had hurt God's children. But Saul had disobeyed. He had saved the king alive. Now, what you want to do, you're called, chosen, elected, you've got to learn to shut the door on everything. You cannot halfway obey God. You've got to obey him in every aspect, not just one part. You have to obey him all the way. Obedience brings blessings.
And Agag came unto him delicately.
Here comes the king, a little delicately there. Hello there.
And Agag said, surely the bitterness of death is past.
He's being real cool here. He's saying, bygones be bygones. You're going to let me live. I'm the king.
Verse 33. And Samuel said, as thy sword hath made women childless.
Now, when the Israelite armies would have to fight against the Amalekites, this king would kill the Israelite soldiers and their mothers were childless. Don't forget, we reap what we sow.
So shall thy mother be childless.
Same thing for you.
Among women. And Samuel hewed Agag in pieces before the Lord in Gilgal.
Now that seems a bit drastic. Nope. There's a time for all of you, and this is the time. You need to kill everything about the devil in your life. some of your fertile, you got a little bit more, just a little bit more of that sin, not quite dedicated. You got to kill everything that is of the devil in your life. Come apart and be separate. You're to be sanctified, holy, holy, holy.
Verse 34, then Samuel went to Ramah.
Samuel goes back to Ramah.
And Saul went up to his house in Gibeah of Saul. Verse 35, and Samuel came no more to see Saul.
Never again. They had been very close. Samuel loved Saul, but no more. That door was shut.
Until the day of his death. Now the Lord repented that he had made Saul king over Israel.
The Lord was very sorry that Saul had disobeyed him. Now, precious Christian, God wants to help you. Some of you are not all together because there's some doors you need to shut. First of all, you need to shut the door on toxic relationships. You say, but Sherry, I just keep trying to win that person to the Lord year after year after year. You're not winning the Lord. They're bringing you down. Now, we love everybody. We try to win them to the Lord. No Christian must have a heart-to-heart relationship with anybody unless you are equally yoked. Dating, marriage, friendship. Now, you love them, you're friendly with them, but you say, but you know, we go out and all this. No, 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 no. You're asking for trouble. Be not unequally yoked. Relationships that do not help you be what you want to be and kind of keep you from being, you're a little afraid to talk with them, that's toxic. Shut that door, but pray for them. Some of you need to shut the door on negative mindsets. Perhaps as a child, somebody told you, you're inferior, you're no good, you'll never make it, you can't do it. Well, you're a new creation now. Shut that door. The Bible says to be renewed by the renewing of your mind. Some of you actually have stomach problems because of something that happened to you as a child. And we understand that. I've been through all kind of hell in my child life. But you have to let that go. Shut the door on that. Jesus, as a man thinketh, so is he. Let that go. Shut that door. Those negative thoughts that you held on, they become a stronghold and they make you sick. And they hinder you from doing God's work. They're toxic. Shut that door. Some of you need to shut the door on the words you're speaking out of your mouth. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are the power of the tongue. You're snared by the words of your mouth. When you say, I am tired, though you feel it, you just spoke death to yourself. When you say, I am sick, though you feel it, you just spoke sickness to yourself. When you say, I am sad, you just spoke sadness to yourself. When you speak, I don't have enough, you just spoke that to yourself. You don't have to say everything you feel. See, God is the word. Understand this. God is a spirit, and he is the word. Jesus is the Word. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. 1 John 1. The language of God, since he's the Word, is the Word.
Yeah.
His language is in the Bible. That is the Word. That is God's Word. That is his language.
Amen.
So, you are God's child. He's a spirit, you're a spirit. So, you want to speak his language. Every time you say, I'm tired, I'm sick, I can't, Jesus says to the Father, they don't speak in our language. I don't know what they mean. You understand?
Yes.
You're speaking a foreign language when you do not speak the Bible to God. Do you see why? Memorize the Bible. Say the Bible. The reason I'm alive, the reason I'm being able to do this is no matter what my body says, my circumstance, I say the word. That's God's language. Yes. And he watches all his language and performs it. If you ever get this, you haven't got it yet, it'll change your life. You say the word of God. His language is the Bible. Say the Bible, and God will watch over it and perform it. If you say sickness or death or can't or not have enough or all kind of nonsense then, you're speaking a foreign language, and he won't respond to that. Yep. That's toxic. Death words, tired words, they are toxic. Some of you need to shut the door on alcohol, on drugs, on pornography. They're toxic. They'll kill you. And some of you need to shut the door on places that you go. Every place has an atmosphere. This place is holy ground. This is Bethel. It's prayed over. The Holy Spirit's here. The Word of God. This is holy ground. When you walk in here, you ought to bow your knee because God is here.
Amen.
But there are places you go and you like it. Demons are flying around. All kind of conversation. Toxic. Shut that door.
1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 1.
From God's heart to my heart to your heart. Open that door. Again, Revelation 3. Jesus says, I open doors and no man can shut it.
Verse 1. And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel?
Now, Samuel loves Saul. And there is a time to mourn. Ecclesiastes says there's a time to mourn. Mourning is good for a little while, grieving. When we lose a loved one or a whole thing has changed, we mourn and we grieve. And that is good for a while. A lot of people don't mourn enough. You try to get up and go and you're not ready yet and you hurt yourself. But when you mourn too long, guess what happens? You'll open a door to the devil. And he'll see you mourning beyond what you should. You're not doing God's will. And a spirit, a demon of grief will come and put you in chains. Some years ago in my school in Cocoa, a wonderful Christian woman came to my school to study piano and voice for her church. We became good friends. After her lesson, we would pray together. And one day she was sitting in one chair and I was opposite her. And we were going to pray. And she started crying, just sobbing. And I said, what's the matter? And she said, Sherry, you know my husband died over 2 years ago. I grieve every day, just like the first day. I can't get up. God opened my eyes. I see into the spiritual realm. And I saw that Satan had her chained from her top to her bottom. Chains. Well, you know what I did. I did what the Bible says. In the name of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the word of God, if God be the glory, I broke those chains.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
And then she was happy.
Amen. Amen.
Mourn for a while, but remember, God left you here for a purpose. Pick up your bed, get back in the race, and rejoice in the Lord, and get your work done.
Amen.
Amen. Fill thy horn with oil.
A horn is a ram's horn. And that would be a lamb. Oil is Eliyah, Hebrew Elohim, Yahweh, the names of God. The anointing oil, Holy Spirit. Oh, Jesus is a ram. He's the lamb. And he says, I have a baptism of fire with which to baptize you, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Okay, somebody's going to get the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
And go. And I will send thee to Jesse, the Bethlehemite.
There's a man named Jesse. He lives in Bethlehem. Beth in Hebrew is house, la of him, bread. House of bread. About 1,000 years later, there would be a little baby born in Bethlehem, the house of bread of Virgin Mary. And he is the bread of heaven.
Amen.
For I have provided me a king from among his sons.
One of Jesse's sons is going to be the king of Israel. He's going to be anointed by the Holy Spirit. Now that same little baby, born in Bethlehem, born of the Virgin Mary, grew up, died on a cruel cross for our sins, shed his blood for our sins, arose from the dead, and he's coming again, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is the head, I wear the body. And the anointing comes from the head down on the body, the children, the sons of God.
Verse 2. And Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me.
Saul still acted like he's king.
And the Lord said, take an heifer with thee, and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord.
Sometimes you have to use covert activity. Don't let the devil know what you're up to. Samuel's a prophet. We're going to have a sacrifice to the Lord. That's good.
Verse 3. And call Jesse to the sacrifice.
Invite Jesse and his sons.
And I will show thee what thou shalt do. And thou shalt anoint him unto me, him whom I name unto thee.
I will tell you the one I have chosen before the foundation of the world. Ephesians 1:4.
Verse 4. And Samuel did that which the Lord spake.
He obeyed. Obedience brings blessings. Disobedience brings cursings.
And came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming.
Well, the people there knew that Samuel had been the last judge of Israel as well as a prophet. And when they saw him coming, they thought that God was going to bring some kind of judgment on them. Somebody had sinned. I think somebody felt guilty.
And said, comest thou peaceably?
Shalom.
Verse 5. And he said, peaceably.
Shalom.
I am come to sacrifice.
I'm come to worship the Lord.
Unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me unto the sacrifice.
Get yourself all cleaned up and, shall we say, come to church.
And he sanctified Jesse and his sons.
Invite Jesse and his sons. How many sons? Well, he's going to bring 7. Is that all? 8 new beginnings.
And call them to the sacrifice.
Invite them. Jesse and your sons, come to church. Now, by the way, God commands Christians to go to church. If you're not going to church, you're in sin. Hebrews 10:25. Forsake not the assembling yourselves together as the manner of some is. Jesus loves his church. He's the head and we're the body. And he wants us to stay together, be in unity.
Verse 6. And it came to pass when they were come, that he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him.
Now this is the firstborn son, so you kind of think it's the first one. Wow, he's tall. He's good looking. And surely he's the firstborn.
Verse 7. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not upon his countenance, nor on the height of his stature.
Don't forget Saul was tall and good looking, but a bad heart.
For I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart.
Most of you Christians, bless your heart, you do judge people by their looks. You look at their clothes. You see if they're clean, if they're pretty, handsome. No. God is a spirit, and you're a spirit, and he created you. You're not your body. You're just living in it for this one time only. You want to develop the fact that you see the person's heart. That's the only way you can help them. Most of you are trying to help people from the outside. It's an inside job. When I was a little girl, about 6 years old, no more than 7, my wonderful teacher, Miss Willalou Stevenson, saw something good in me and how I loved to read books. I would have to hide behind chairs to read them so my mother would not knock them out of my hand. And she gave me a book, The Understanding Heart. And something happened to me. I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm a little girl. Rest of my life, I'm not going to be influenced by what a person looks like or wears or how they smell. I'm going to see their heart. I'm going to look at their heart. I've had 20/20 vision most of my life. 13 years ago, something fell on my head. My retina's broke. I'm totally blind. But I see your heart. Amen. It's so good. I see your heart. You can't fool me.
Amen.
Verse 8. Then Jesse called Abinadab.
Okay, son number 2. I bet he said, ha, 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 I'm going to be the one.
And made him pass before Samuel. And he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this.
Shut that door.
Verse 9. Then Jesse made Shamar to pass by.
Son number three.
And he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this.
Three strikes and you're out. But we got a few more sons there.
Verse 10. Again, Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel.
He brought seven sons, and God says, no, 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 no.
And Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord hath not chosen these. Verse 11. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children?
Do you have another? I mean, eight, maybe? Eight's a new beginning, a new door. Could we open that door?
And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep.
I mean, yes, you know, I got the young one out there. We call him David. I ain't just got to take care of those few small sheep. I mean, I didn't think that was important enough for him to come. He's the youngest. Our elder brother is our shepherd. He keeps the sheep. King Saul couldn't even find his donkeys. And this one is a shepherd. He keeps the sheep. The Lord is our shepherd.
When Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him.
Go get him.
For we will not sit down till he come hither.
Sit down means we're not going to have this solemn Thanksgiving feast of the Lord. He's the one. Bring him on.
Verse 12. And he sat and brought him in. Now he was ready.
Ready means to show blood in the face. What it means is his complexion was so, the skin tone, that when he blushed, you could see his little rosy cheeks. Same thing happened in Genesis 2. Eth Hadam, the man Adam, ruddy. When he blushed, you could see his rosy cheeks.
With all a beautiful countenance.
Very good looking.
And goodly to look to.
The eyes seem to have a purity about them, a depth about them, a soul about them.
And the Lord said, arise and anoint him, for this is he.
This is he, chosen from before the foundation of the world. Do you understand that God wrote something down about you before he put you in your mother's womb?
Verse 13, then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren.
All those brothers had to see that. Christ is not Jesus' last name. Christ is Greek Christos, the anointed one. And so Jesus is our elder brother, the only begotten Son of God. Now our elder brother, and we are the children of God. The anointing falls on the head. The anointing of Jesus falls on the children who receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And now we are also the sons of God.
And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David.
At that moment, he was baptized with the Holy Spirit. He was really nice before. He lay out there and wrote his songs and loved God, took care of the sheep. But he'll never be the same. Jesus said in Acts 1, you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Spirit's come upon you.
From that day forward,
he would never be the same.
And Samuel rose up and went to Ramah.
Samuel goes back to his house. It's not quite time for David to be on the throne. He's got to be trained to reign. So he goes back to take care of the sheep. Now he'll still write his songs and play his little harp. But this time, the chief musician, Jesus' Holy Spirit, will sing it through him. The Lord is my shepherd, anointed by Holy Spirit. He will still look up at the stars and love God. But now he's got the baptism. He communes with God. See, until you get the baptism, you don't have that personal relationship. You commune with God. He will still take care of the sheep. When the lion and the bear come, he'll herd them. And, you know, he used to herd them and run them. But now he'll stand his ground. He'll kill that lion. He'll kill that bear. Why? You receive power after the Holy Spirit's come upon you. A supernatural power. Jesus was 12 years old. Astounding, the doctors of law in the temple. Mother Mary said, come home, son. He went home and obeyed her and his stepdad, Joseph. Nobody knew that Jesus was God except Mary and her husband, Joseph. But at 30, he obeyed the voice of God. He went to be baptized in the River Jordan, John 3. But when he came up out of the water, he received the ram's horn of oil. The baptism of the Holy Spirit came upon him. The dove is a symbol of that. A dove coos. And he was baptized with the Holy Spirit. Jesus was never the same. You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit's come upon you. He would heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons. And that anointing gave him the glory, the unction to die on a cross. And that same Holy Spirit raised Jesus from the dead.
Amen.
And now you, if you're saved, if you're not, I'm going to give you a chance before this lesson's over. If you're saved, that's good. And you were saved. Your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So you go to church, read your Bible, and you pray the best you can. But before the baptism, you're just absolutely tormented with anger, offenses, demons coming here, all kind of troubles. I mean, you do not live a victorious life. You can't. You receive power after the Holy Spirit's come upon you. But once you are baptized with the Holy Spirit, you still have those things coming against you. But this time, you defeat them in the name of Jesus. Jesus gives you power over all the power of the enemy. Even the sickness, it won't deter you. You'll get up and you'll do God's work. The anxiety won't take you down. The weariness won't take you down. The aggravation won't take you down. The trouble won't take you down. The anger won't take you down. The rejections won't take you down. You have power as the Holy Spirit's come upon you. Supernatural power. The devil's on the left. Shut that door. Jesus on the right. Open that door. I pray you are blessed.
Amen. 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 Amen.
Let me introduce to you the owner of the Produce Place, man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing very well, Miss Sherry. It was an awesome word. It was an awesome word.
Awesome word. You want to keep the door open, aren't
you? Amen.
Amen. David left his stuff. That's David. David left his stuff in the car. Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. What is Scott's stuff?
And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God? Romans 12:2.
That is so great. We did not collude. No. Remember, I said the thinking, be renewed by the renewed.
Yeah.
No, that is the Holy Spirit.
I know, totally.
You're led by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Before I pray for healing, if you're not saved, cyberspace, anyone here, pray this prayer with me. Mean it with all your heart, and you have to stay true, and God will save you. Here we go. Almighty God, in Jesus' name, I am a sinner.
Almighty God, in Jesus' name, I am a sinner.
I change my mind.
I change my mind.
I repent.
I repent.
I turn from them.
I turn from them.
I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord.
I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord.
Jesus Christ, Son of God, come into my heart.
Jesus Christ, Son of God, come into my heart.
Save my soul.
Save my soul.
Forgive all my sins.
Forgive all my sins.
Wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Baptize me with the Holy Spirit.
Baptize me with the Holy Spirit.
Lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Lead me by the Holy Spirit.
And put me where you want me in your church.
And put me where you want me in your church.
And make me usable.
And make me usable.
I am being trained to reign.
I am trained to reign.
Let me win many souls to Jesus.
Let me win many souls to Jesus.
I confess with my mouth that Jesus is my Lord and Savior.
I confess with my mouth that Jesus is my Lord and Savior.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. For those of you in cyberspace, the book of Romans says, with the mouth, confession is made to salvation. You want to tell quite a few people, I invite you to tell me. I want you to tell me. In a little while, Scott will give you my telephone number. Call that number. It's my voicemail. Leave your confession there. When I get it, I'll pray for you. And welcome to the family of God. You also may email me, and I'll give you that in a moment. For every new Christian, buy yourself a Bible, Old Testament and New. I suggest the King James because it is the only version that you could trace almost every word back to the original language in which Holy Spirit dictated it. Hebrew, Greek, Aramaic, Syriac, and Chaldean. And then you want to pray to the Father. Find a place in your home, nobody but you, no noise, no cell phones, no dogs, no music, just you and God. Now call him Father. Father, in the name of Jesus, by the Holy Spirit. Develop the prayer life. No prayer, no power. Little prayer, little power. Much prayer, much power. And go to church every time the door opens, on the Sabbath and midweek, because you need to. It's a command. Forsake not the assembling yourselves together. Find a church that teaches the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Why? Paul said, read this epistle to the church. Isaiah 28 says, line by line. But make sure that the pastor there, the shepherd, whoever is in charge, is led by the Holy Spirit and operates in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, especially healing and deliverance from drugs and words of knowledge and that type of thing. And the language, and they want to make sure they speak in tongues because that's the language of God and that's the best way to pray. And then the pastor can know how to help you and go every time the door opens. I love you and God bless you. And I pray that you will just, I'll see you in heaven.
Amen.
Here's my email, S-H-A-R-I, Medlock, Trumpet of Truth, 2565 Sullers Lane, Melbourne, Florida. I'm giving you my address on Sherry Medlock, Trumpet of Truth, at gmail.com. Again, Sherry Medlock, Trumpet of Truth, at gmail.com. The G is for God. Now I'm going to pray for healing. What you want to do when you're sick, remember that God watches over his word and performs it. Say aloud with feeling the healing words of the Bible. If you say it long enough, and if you've got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit will turn on the battery and heal you. This morning when I came out here, I was feeling very sick. Something I ate, I think. And so I didn't want to feel sick because I have work to do for God. And so I just immediately said, Father, you said, and I quoted scriptures, and I have the anointing. After a while, I didn't feel better, but I felt that Holy Spirit come up out of my belly like a river of living water. And the language of the Holy Spirit came on me. I let him speak in that language that's called tongues. It's not gibberish, it's God's language. And after he finished, I was totally healed.
Amen.
Do you understand the power of the language? In the name of your lungs, you're healed now. The fluids there in your lungs, edema, the fluids flow. All of that heart be healed. I shall cut my soul. Bones be made strong in the mighty name of the power of Jesus. I shall cut arthritis be gone in the name of Jesus. I shall cut heart disease, lung disease, arthritis be gone, bone cancer be gone, memories be restored, deaf ears hear, lame legs walk, in the mighty name of Jesus. Pick up your bed and walk, hallelujah. Arthritis be healed, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Hallelujah,
amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You realize what he did? He called it out, and then I told you what it was. Now, for those of you who don't understand tongues, have mercy on you. I feel sorry for you. There you are. I love you. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you. The Lord drop his countenance upon you and give you peace. I love you too. I'm your second best friend, Sherry Medlock. But your best friend is Jesus. He will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He is the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. No greater love is this, than a man laid out his life for his friend. I can't wait until next time when you, all the people in the world, get together as a family of God to hear the joyful sound of
the trumpet of truth.
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of the trumpet of truth.
You're listening to Brevard County's very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music. 91.5 FM WMIE. Lord, make me an instrument.
Hi, everyone. I'm Danny Whiting, the new general manager for FM radio station WMIE 91.5, and it's time for our semi-annual fundraiser. Offering this year's appeal will begin Monday, April 17th, and continue through April 24th. I hope that you will prayerfully consider making a donation to WMIE's radio ministry so that we can continue to bring you sound preaching, Bible teaching, and worship music through the airways. You can send your donations via mail to WMIE 1150 West King Street, Cocoa, Florida 32922, or you can call us with your pledge at 321-632-1000, and we'll take your information over the phone, or even more convenient, you can go to WMIEFM.com and click on the donate to make your donation. Thank you, and God bless.
accept your love. Slave to the darkness. If it wasn't for the cross, you have won me with your kindness. Chase me down when I was lost. Where would I be if it wasn't for the cross? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I was a prisoner. Now I'm not. With your blood, you bought my
the space in my mind is too small for you. The space in my heart is too small for you too. that I've known are too small for all of the greatness you've shown. But in all of this, I'm still facing my needs, and I'm scared of how big they feel to me.
Oh, You're listening to 91.5 FM and 102.3 FM. This is Brevard County's home for the very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music. WMIE.